Third case, the United States v. Scott. Ms. Solomon.
May it please the Court, Judge Flom, Judge Wood, and Judge Hamilton. My name is Lauren Weil Solomon, and I represent Mr. Scott in this case. Just as a preliminary matter, I want to a clarification in my brief. On page 5, there is a sentence in the first paragraph that says, refers to the conclusions in the psychologist's report. Those conclusions are missing, but the conclusions are in the report on page 6. In this case, the district court committed both procedural and substantive error when it failed to consider Mr. Scott's principal argument that criminal history category 6 overstated the seriousness of his criminal history, and when it failed to consider the arguments regarding the MDMA guidelines and the psychological effects of defendant's history of abuse and mental health concerns. As a result, the sentence imposed was greater than necessary to serve the purposes of sentencing. And for these reasons, the sentence should be vacated by this court, remanded to the district court for resentencing.
It seems that the district court did, however, think about how much of a sentence was necessary under the circumstances of Mr. Scott's case. He says the within career offender range is out of proportion or out of whack, and he mentions the troubled childhood. He mentions likelihood of reoffending and how much of a sentence is necessary. He maybe doesn't use quite these words, but it's not too hard to understand what he's saying. I'm not sure where the failure is.
Well, when he talks about the career offender guidelines being out of whack, he's referring to the actual conduct. He never mentions in any way the fact that his actual criminal history put him into criminal history category 4, and under the career offender guideline, the application of the guideline automatically increases the criminal history to category 6. And in this case, that would have made a significant difference in the guideline that we were looking at, both initially given the fact that this was an MDMA case that had very low drug guidelines.
But his ultimate sentence, I mean, you say he doesn't say those words, but if I'm remembering this record correctly, we're talking about a computed guideline range of 262 to 327, and the judge winds up giving him 157. So how can we say he's not, he maybe doesn't say 6 is too high, it should be closer to 4, you know, some of these more particular things, but his actions must make a difference here.
Well, but we don't know on what ground he based that, other than the fact that he was focusing on Mr. Scott's age when he would be released from prison.
Well, and what was in front of him. I mean, he'd been, you know, it's not the world's most discursive sentencing transcript, I understand that, but he touches on these points and winds up giving him a sentence that looks very much like what would have resulted from the kind of analysis you're talking about.
Well, it's unclear from the record because he doesn't give us that information or that analysis. He does talk about it being out of whack, and he does focus on Mr. Scott's age, and then he
in the sense of likelihood of reoffending, he says if you go out at this, you know, if you're in for this length of time, then I think the likelihood of reoffending has gone down to the point that it's tolerable for society.
That's correct, and those are only some of the factors that are required to be looked at when you're doing a sentencing and considering the Section 3553A factors. There's also, in this case, since there was significant mental health issues, and he did, you're correct, Judge Wood, in noting that he did discuss the history of abuse, but he did not touch at all upon the impact that abuse had on his mental health and the fact that he had not received any treatment for that mental health until at all during his lifetime. So, and in some cases, a sparse record in sentencing can be ameliorated or expanded upon in the statement of reasons. And in this case, the statement of reasons was incomplete, and the only fact that was indicated was for the reasons stated in open court. So there's no additional clarification or expansion on the reasons for the sentence.
With respect to the drug equivalency issue between ecstasy and marijuana, if the district judge had accepted that argument, would it have affected the calculated guideline range at all?
It would not have affected the career offender guideline, but it would have impacted the Section 3553A factors, because that would have gone to the characteristics and seriousness of the underlying offense, because the gun was a 924C, which only can be charged if there is a drug offense. So the case always starts, and the pre-sentence report made clear, you start with the drug offense.
Okay, I don't think I understand that answer. It would not have affected the guideline calculation.
It would not have affected the career offender guideline calculation, because
which
that was based on...
Which was the controlling guideline determination, correct?
That's correct.
Everybody agrees that was right as a matter of law, right?
That's correct.
Okay, the argument is it's excessive, but as a matter of law, it was correctly applied.
That's correct.
Okay.
However, that's the beginning of the analysis, not the end of it, because, one, the career offender guideline is advisory, as are all the guidelines, and that guideline, in order to calculate the guideline sentence, the beginning factors are the drugs. And that was in the pre-sentence report, that's where the probation department starts, with a calculation of the drug quantity and what the drug guideline would be, absent the career offender provision.
Want to save some time for rebuttal?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Solomon. Mr. Thompson.
May it please the Court. Good morning. Joe Thompson on behalf of the United States. The district court here provided an adequate and sufficient explanation for the sentence imposed. After knowing that the defendant had essentially lived a life of crime, the court explained that it was imposing a sentence that was designed to ensure that the defendant would not be released from prison until he had reached an age where the court felt more confident that the defendant would be less likely to commit future crimes. In doing so, the court issued a sentence 105 months below the low end of the applicable guideline range. And in fact, the court noted that the sentence actually would have been a little bit higher but for the government's own recommendation in connection with the defendant's cooperation in this case. Judge, during the sentencing, the defendant raised one main argument, and that was that the career offender guidelines were excessive and overstated and greater than necessary to further the goals of sentencing.
Well, the judge addresses that, but you have to admit, this is the way this judge does things, I guess, but it's pretty concise, and there's very little attention paid. Just a glancing reference to the psychological report, and there was certainly attention from the defense side to the psychological report.
Judge, the court did address the psychological report.
Well, he said you've had a tough life. I mean, he didn't say much about it, as I recall.
And I don't think he was required to, Judge, here. In a situation like this, well, let me start first.
I mean, how about a full sentence? Even though you've had a tough life, I don't think it should have an effect on your sentence because X, Y, Z.
Well, I'm not sure that was the judge's conclusion. The court did, after noting that the defendant had led what he called essentially a life of crime, he said that that was explained in part by the defendant's upbringing or the way he was not raised by his family.
Well, it was a terrible childhood.
It certainly was, and that wasn't contested at the sentencing. And that's why that informed the court's decision that was almost 9 years below the low end of the range. And that alone indicates that the court gave consideration to this factor.
So do you think we should just infer from the fact that things are presented at sentencing hearings that the judge is somehow responding plus or minus to those things, even if the judge doesn't tell us which direction he's going in?
Well, Judge, I don't think we have to in this case. The court did touch on it, as I noted. I mean, the fact that this is a defendant who at the time of sentencing has spent 12 of the past 15 years in prison, and commenting on that life of crime, the first thing he said was that's explained in part by your upbringing, the way you weren't raised by your parents. There wasn't much more to say on that point when you're going to go that far drastically below the range. It indicates that the court did consider it. Later on in the sentencing, the court gave the defendant an opportunity to discuss whatever he wanted to the court, to give his own apologies or whatever, and address the court. And the defendant spent the bulk of that time discussing his own childhood, the abusive childhood he suffered under, the depression he's suffered since then. And the court, after he said that, said, I understand that. I understand what you're saying. And then said, but I think this is the age you need. I'm concerned that you're going to commit new crime, and you need to reach the age of 40 or so. And I think then you'll be less likely to commit future crimes. And that's what the court did. This sentence was specifically designed to ensure the defendant wouldn't be released until he was in his 40s. And I think right now, with acceptance, with good time credit, he'd get out at approximately age 42.
So the interesting, I just looked at the judgment. It didn't look to me as though there's any provision in the judgment for any sort of mental health counseling. There's a drug provision in there, and there's some other things. But it's...
Judge, I believe that
just kind of off the cuff, you know, does say, so correctional facility with mental health and drug treatment program, that's true. But then if you look at the other conditions, I don't know.
Judge, the court certainly did address the issue of drug aftercare in
drug aftercare, for sure, not the...
It also said, Judge, and this is on page 20 of the sentencing transcript, you should participate in a mental health treatment program, which may include medication. At the direction of the probation officer. So, Judge, I think the court did, and that indicates, again, that the court did consider this issue. The key question here, Judge, and the thing that your court has to look at is, did the district court provide an adequate explanation for the sentence imposed that shows that he addressed the arguments of the defendant, and he leaves this court in a situation where his sentence is reviewable, with his exercise of discretion at sentencing is reviewable? And the court did exactly that here. He addressed the primary arguments of the defendant, most notably the argument that the career offender range was overstated, and he agreed with that expressly. Then he moved on to consider, well, what is the appropriate sentence? How far below the range is appropriate? And he had a very clear explanation of how he calculated the sentence. And again, that was designed to make sure that the defendant, who had spent the bulk of his adult life in prison, would have reached an age before by the time he was released that he'd be less likely to commit future crimes. That's what the court did here. That's ample explanation to allow your honors to review his exercise of discretion. And for that reason, it's sufficient. If there are no further questions, I would ask that you affirm the defendant's sentence.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Ms. Solomon?
I think your honors touched on a really important points here that this was a serious sentence, 157 months of man's time and life, and we need to have a record that is sufficient so that this court does not have to infer what the district court was thinking, what it was taking into consideration, and what arguments were taken into consideration, considered, rejected, or incorporated. And this record here simply doesn't provide that kind of adequacy so that this court can point to the record and say, yes, this was considered and rejected, yes, this was considered and accepted. And for that reason, the case should be remanded for resentencing so we can have a clarification and we can be sure that all important factors were considered in the court sentencing. Thank you,
Ms. Solomon. Thanks to all counsel and Ms. Solomon. As in the other cases, I want to extend the thanks to the